Usually when I try to say a shmooze, I think maybe there's something in the parsha that I could use, but that's not my priority. I'm lucky this time that I found something in the parsha, which usually the reason why the parsha is not that dictating to me is because I try to find something that is not being adapted to try to make a shmooze out of, but rather something that's like really important, has an important message for us, rather than just adapted because we have to be able to sing it on the parasha. This time I was lucky. I found something that I think is really very effective. At least for myself, I find it to be something which is speaks to me, and I'd like to share it with you. In Parashas Va'era, which we learned yesterday, so Perek Zayin Pasuk Hashem, beginning of the parasha, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that you should go and speak to Paro together with Aaron. And Pasuk Gimel says, "Vani Aksha Eslev Paro," and I'm going to harden the heart of Paro. I'm going to, as a result of hardening his heart, I will have a chance to do many miracles, many of the makos in Eretz Mitzrayim, and Paro won't listen, etc. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically gives Moshe Rabbeinu a quick preview of what's to happen. The question that perplexes the Rishonim and the Sfarno is the one that I want to address. His approach to the sugya is this inyan of Paro's heart, that Hashem is going to harden his heart. How does that fit with Bechira? So the Sfarno maintains that what the Torah means when Hashem says I'm going to harden the heart of Paro, it's not at all a push against his free choice, but to the contrary, Vani Aksha Eslev Paro is in order to enable his free choice. And he explains that by the nature of the severity of the Makos, Paro, had it not been for this intervention of Hashem hardening his heart, which we'll just define in a couple moments, he would have given in to the pressure caused by the Makos out of sheer brute force. He would have given in. And so the Sfarno says, and I'll read it to you, Ve'ein Safek, there's no question, Shalule Hachbodos Halev, if it wouldn't have been for this heart hardening, Ayapara Meshaleches Yisrael Li Safek, he would definitely have sent out Klal Yisrael much earlier in the game. Lo Al Tzad Shuvah V'Hachno L'Kel Yisborach, but not out of having recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he was supposed to, and humble himself before God and to change his way and do tshuva, stop being a rebellious one against Hashem. But rather, he would have done it simply, like I said before, Bilti Yochel Lisbo Odis Tzoras HaMarkos. He wouldn't have been able to handle the difficulties involved. The zos lo hoisa tshuva klal. As we look at things very superficially, if we would have seen the makos happen, and already by the second maka, he would have given in. He would say, "Okay, go, please go, please go, please go." We would have been very pleased with the outcome, and said, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, he finally came around." That's because we would be riveted and focused on the wrong point. We'd be focused upon the fact, did Paro Lamaisa relent and give in, and did he let Klal Yisrael go? Didn't he let him go? And he let him go early on in the whole process. So we would have clapped our hands, and we would have said, Shkoyach. But that's the way we would mistakenly look at it. Explains the Sfarno that in reality, that wouldn't have been worth anything. Zos lohesed, in terms of what Kadosh Baruch Hu was out to get Paro to. He says, but aval imaya Paro chofetz lehikona lachel yizbarach v'lashuv eilav b'tshuva shleima lohoyla b'zeh shum monea. If Paro really had an earnest, honest desire to humble himself and accept God's dominion over him and to return to Hashem with tshuva shleima, there would have been nothing that would have stood in the way. What it means, goes on the Sfarno to say, that I will harden his heart. She is ameitz lisbo hamakos v'lo yishalach miyiras hamakos es Yisrael. What the Torah means by I will harden his heart is that I'm going to give him superhuman ability. His threshold of pain is going to go way up there, so that instead of giving in when we twist his arm and it reaches a point where he just can't handle it anymore, he's going to have the ability, based upon this superhuman capacity which he's going to be imbued by through intervention by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to have the ability to just handle it. And therefore, he won't give in unless it's coming from a good place, unless it's coming from the real good place. And he says, and now he goes to the first pasuk in Parshas Bo, which says that Kadosh Baruch Hu explains to Moshe Rabbeinu in the first pasuk that he should go for the seventh, eighth, and ninth Marka, he should go to Paro, and needs a big explanation exactly what's going on over here. But we're going to focus just in on. And he says, Boel Paro, ki ani chbarati es libo v'slev avodov. And Hashem says, I did this hardening for two purposes. Laman shisi ososa ele bekirbo, number one. And the second is, Laman tesaper ba'ozne bincho v'en bincho, in order that you should relate this incident to your future, to your sons, to your grandchildren, to your future generations, that which I did. So the Sfarno here, and also there, but mainly here, in this Sfarno, Zayin Gimel, he explains the Pshat and these Psukim. Now here we're saying Hashem hardened the heart in order to, what we said until now, is in order to enable Paro to have the opportunity to do tshuva properly, because had he not hardened his heart, he would have just given in, not from a humbling of his heart, but rather just out of sheer force. So he says, therefore we harden this heart. Laman shish, now he goes and explains the pasuk in Parshas Bo, that I will harden his heart, as it says there, for two purposes. Laman shisi oso sa ele bekirbo. He explains, shemehem yakiru godli vetuvi, because if by doing all these makos, then Egypt in general, and Paro in particular, are going to recognize my greatness and my goodness. Hashem is great in terms of awesome power, and also Molei Chesed. These two aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his omniscient power and his goodness, I want to show to them through my osos. V'yashuvu hamitzrim be'eze tshuva amitis. For the purpose that the Egyptians will be able to, as a result of this, they'll be able to do some kind of a full, complete tshuva. Uleman, that's purpose number one. And purpose number two, uleman tesaper, in order that you should tell your children, Ata Yisrael haro'e b'tzarasam, you, Klal Yisrael, who are seeing their tzoros, you should tell your children, and this is the punchline of the Sfarno, Lahodia, to tell them, Shekol Eila Yifal Kel Im Gever. That's a pasuk in Eov.
which he's incorporating into what he's saying, that all of this God will do with a man, lahashivo elav, to bring him back in tshuva to him. See, it comes very nogeh to the Seder. We sit down at the Seder at night, and the whole idea of the Seder is to give over to our children Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. According to the Sfarno, the main message that we're supposed to get across to the children, L'man Tesaper V'oznei Vincha, is that all of this Hashem does with a person in order to get him to do tshuva. So this is, so we've just gone through the Mar Makom of the Sfarno, what the Sfarno says, pshat, in why Hashem hardened the heart, number one, and number two, the goals to be attained as a result of his enabling Paro to not give in too early out of force, but rather to give him opportunities so that he should have the chance to be able to do tshuva, and that we, the observers from the outside, should be able to tell our children, wow, I got to tell you what happened over there in Yetzias Mitzrayim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did so many incredible miracles. He turned the world upside down. And you go through the Ten Makos and you say, you know what all this was for? Except for the tenth one? This refers to the nine Makos. According to the Sfarno, the nine Makos were not a punishment. The tenth Mako, after he struck out three times, nine times, but three times in baseball. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally delivered Makos B'choros, B'toras, and Onesh. But the first nine Makos were not being given for the sake, according to the Sfarno, for the sake of punishing, but rather for the sake of educating. Laman Teda Kein Kamoni, like we saw three times in Parshas Va'era, Laman Teda Ki Hashem Haaretz Ki Kein Kamoni B'chol Haaretz, was to educate him for the purpose of getting him to recognize Hashem's greatness, and for the long range purpose and goal of getting him to be shav b'tshuva, to be nichna before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Sfarno says. So, as I was learning the Sfarno, the point that struck me, which I is the point that I want to just emphasize and bring out, is that if we go through, I mean, the idea itself it's an astounding Sfarno to start with, even without what I'll attempt to add, just the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world for the sake of an individual, with one person, and he runs it in such a way where he's willing and he's asked to create such an upside down world in terms of changing the teva of the world, all of this God will do with a person. For what purpose? In order to wake them up, in order that they should Bishav b'tshuva, which itself is an astounding thing for us to realize, that Hashem is invested in the improvement, spiritual improvement of an individual, to the extent that everything in the world he will be willing. Lamaisi doesn't do it. He doesn't do it on a ongoing basis. Nisim gluyim. But the Ramban does say at the end of Parshas Bo that this one-time show of Nisim Gluyim was really intended to open up our eyes to the existence of the inner track of miracles, which exists, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on an ongoing basis, what we call Nisim Nistarim, hidden miracles. Had we not seen the open miracles, we would not be able to key in on the Nisim Nistarim, but when we realize the Nisim Gluyim, that sheds an entire light on all of the hidden miracles that exist. And it's these hidden miracles which we're supposed to realize are being done. Miracles, mamish miracles. The fact that Hashem doesn't do it begalui, in a revealed way, that's in no way reduces the intensity of the hair of what we're supposed to realize. So kol ele, all of this, Hashem will do with a man. He's going to do, as he does these miracles, which happen then to be revealed, but duration of time afterwards, and it applies to every single individual, there's an awesome hashgacha which attends every single individual with all kinds of miracles, all kinds of hashgacha pratis. And the tachlis of it all, we usually think, bitachon, Hashem is with me, and we try to think that way, and Hashem is guiding me, but we don't relate that to have that Hashem, that's towards an agenda, a specific agenda, of not just caring about the person, which is certainly a good part of it, but it's specifically to orchestrate a person's life with all of these hidden miracles in a way which is going to enable them to come to a tshuva amitis. That's what the Sfarno says. So what hit me, and this is the part I'd like to add, is that we're talking about Paro. If we notice, as the Makos go on, towards the end of Parashas Vayera, at the end of Borod, by the end of Borod, so Paro admits, and he says, Hashem HaTzadik, Vani V'ami HaRashoyim, please intercede and stop the Mako. We go back to the beginning, the first step that Paro said when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron walked in, was, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Lo Yidati Es Hashem, I have no understanding, I never saw him, I don't know what you're talking about. He denied the existence of the God that Moshe Rabbeinu was representing entirely. So if we look at where he's coming from and where he is now after the end of Borod, which is the end of the sixth Makkah, he's made a tremendous, I mean, he had a lot of help with all these Makkos, but he's made a tremendous amount of progress to the point where he's now Maimon. Not only is he a Maimon, he was Machnia himself. He did humble himself to the point where he says, you know, I got to tell you, not only is there a God, not only is he pulling off all of these incredible changes of nature, which is like mind-boggling, but he's doing it in a way that he's the tzaddik. And me and my people, we're the Rishon. And he's saying that. So he's putting it on the table. If I was looking at it from the outside, I'd say, wow, we finally achieved our goal. Here we took a man who was a kofer, and he came to recognize God, he came to recognize the justice, the tzidkus of Hashem. And he came, most of all, to be nichna, to humble himself, and to recognize his own being warped. That I'm the Rasha. I would say, well, Hashem has achieved his end goal. He's gotten the man coming from there to this point. That's an awesome accomplishment. And since we've already heard the Sfarno say that Hashem's intention in all this is in order to bring a person to tshuva, I would say, we're there. We're there. So why do we continue with the seventh and the eighth and the ninth, and he still didn't get it? And finally, because he didn't get it at the end, that's when the onus happens, and that's how the show ends over here. So the Sfarno says, because he didn't come to tshuva amitis. He didn't humble himself before God the way it was intended that he should be. I mean, the fact is that after Moshe Rabbeinu put the bar away, he came back. And again, he was Mr. Bad Guy. But it wasn't the same bad guy he was originally. He's coming along, and he made a submission, and he recognized God, and he's just vicissitudes. You know, people go up and they go down, whatever, but he definitely made a major headway. But yet, because it wasn't solidly entrenched, I guess that's the pshat, it wasn't permanently entrenched in his heart, what he said, Ani Atzadik Hashem Atzadik Ani Vami Arashoyim, it was good, but it wasn't felt so deeply in his heart that it became something which he couldn't retract and back off of. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers the situation, it's the cake's not baked yet, it's not done yet, and we have to bang away. So we see that the kavona of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what God wants from man in terms of achieving this consummate, perfect relationship with Hashem, of being humbled before Hashem and being chozer b'tshuva, even if you're dealing with a person who starts out being a kofer, total kofer, Hashem's not satisfied with his just coming as far as he came after the sixth makkah. He wants completion. And until he has that completion, it's not good enough. And I, Kivyochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to keep still turning the world upside down, performing more miracles for this person, all for the purpose of taking his heart, which is maybe 60%, 70% changed, but he's not completely permeated with it yet. And we're gonna still work on him in order to get him to go even weiter, to go further, to become perfect and complete and a shav b'tshuva. Hashem has no ulterior motives. Kol eila yifal kel im gever. So we could understand from this svarno and the pasuk vaniach shes leiv paro, instead of it ringing when I used to read the parsha, that pasuk used to ring in my ear like, hey, Hashem's kind of being unfair, tough with him, you know, not giving him a chance. The svarno here is an entirely different Nigin coming out of those words. Wow, Ani Akshes Leiv Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to perform also sumosim, all for the sake of getting a person to not only get on the right derech, but to get on the right derech and to go weiter and further and be mashlim and complete himself to the point, and Hashem is going to continue doing all those miracles for the person until they reach that final level of shame. So as long as they're making headway, Hashem will keep doing it. After finally he went through nine makos and Paro hit a dead end, then only at that point did the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing him come into play. But if we take all of this scenario, we try to apply it, we can apply it, I think, on two levels. We can apply it to ourselves, and we could realize that if this is what Hashem did with a gever, call Eli Yifal and gever with Paro, certainly for a Jew, certainly for a Bochur Yeshiva who's trying to connect through Limud HaTorah, he's trying to develop in a ruchniyistic way to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's making efforts. So imagine, we should imagine the degree of nisim nistarim, of hidden miracles that are going on in our lives all the time, and they may not fit with exactly our own agenda. We might have preferred if the dice would have landed on a different number, you know, for us, and we would have had maybe certain things that we thought we should get or would have liked to have gotten, whether it's in Gashmias or it's in Ruchnius. We would have thought, you know, I worked three hours on this Tosis. I would have hoped and expected, at least after I put in this amount of time, you know, breaking my head in the Tosis, I'd walk away a bit smarter than I was when I started. And I now, not only did Rabbi Luban's shiur not make it clearer to me, I'm more confused after it than I was before I even started. And we say to ourselves, I'm frustrated. It doesn't seem to be worth the effort. It doesn't seem to be worth the amount of investment. And it could very well be that if left to our own doings, hey, maybe we would have figured something out. No, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka gave me a bad headache that day. I couldn't see straight, and I couldn't, and everything I'm thinking, I get just more confused, and it's just more confusing. And like, what's going on? And if we would use the Svarna to apply to ourselves, we don't exactly know why, what it is, but apparently this is Hashem's way of getting me closer to Him. The Rabbi Trapper, Zichrono Tzadik Levrocha, in the yeshiva in Queens, used to have this really strange saying. He used to say, unless you get confused in a sugya, you're nowhere. And it was such a nice thing, you know. I hear, you know, people get confused. They're like ready to tear their hair out and be... upset with themselves. And Rabbi Trapp used to say, good, it's a good sign, you're confused. But Rabbi Trapp, I used to understand what's going on in the sugya. Now I don't have a clue what's going on in the sugya. That's great. Oh, you're really staggering away. You're really getting there. Like, it was an upside-down world. But so maybe Hashem, Dafka made me confused and mixed up, because that's my derech to get to the goal that I have to get to. So whatever it is, the point is that if we have this, maybe call it optimistic, or maybe call it just a certain mindset, a certain outlook, that when things happen to us, don't be so provincial to judge their benefit or detriment according to our own squinting eyes, but rather we should put everything on a chazaka. Hashem is doing miracles for me. And the specific goal of these miracles is in order for me to be able to be shav b'tshuva amitis, to get closer to Him. And the fact that I'm already... I've made tremendous amount of headway. Paro have made a tremendous amount of headway. Hashem is still making miracles for him, turning things upside down in order for be able to for me to reach my best. That's one idea. And the other idea, in terms of what the yeshiva attains to and tries to inspire all of us towards, is to give of ourselves for the tzibur, to give of ourselves for Abbas's Torah. You go into becoming, whether it's a Rebbe, some kind of a mechanech, or a Rav, or a Kiruv person, your attitude towards the person that you're interacting with shouldn't just be one of, wow, you know, I got this guy to be Shomer Shabbos. He was mamish, not from, and I work, and I got to be Shomer Shabbos. That itself is an amazing thing. However, is he shalom yet? Did he reach shlemus yet? Is he totally involved, plugged into Torah? Is Torah the total center force of his life? Well, no, but look where he was coming from and where he is now. You definitely deserve to make a kiddush. There's no question about it. But don't feel like my job's done. I got the guy to be frum. He's a Shomer Shabbos guy. No, now you got to get him to be a Ben Torah. And then you have to get him, after he's a Ben Torah, you have to begin to think of Baal Musar. And after he's a Baal Musar, you have to get him to the highest levels of perfecting his character and perfecting everything about him. And unless he's that, Hashem is doing miracles for him. And you want to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have to be there doing that for him. So this Svarna should inspire us not only to realize this grand general idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention, but it should give us inspiration for ourselves to seek not only what you might call upper mediocrity, but rather to strive for not just excellence, to strive for perfection, not to be frustrated, obviously, by the lack of that perfection. We always have to, you know, be happy where we are holding with, you know, where we're at. We can't be down on ourselves, but from the positive standpoint, the person has to be always shooting for higher, more, and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in it for you, doing miracles, arranging all of the circumstances in your life in order for you to be able to have the opportunity to grow further and further. When you get married, your married life is filled with new challenges, whether it's challenges getting along with your spouse, it's challenges getting along with your children, knowing what to do with your children. At every step of the way, a person should look at it like, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's design for me to reach my greatest shleimus, and he'll even harden Paro's heart in order to be able to get up to that level. So we should be zocha be'ez Hashem to utilize every circumstance that we're in and try to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's with us every step of the way, give ourselves that chizuk that comes from that in order to be able to surge and move forward, Be'ez Hashem, and reach the goals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set for every Jew.